Hey, what up, everybody? This is Ryan Sketch here with Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, we are live here at the New York International Auto Show. Unfortunately, we're a little late to the show, but it doesn't matter. We got our press passes. We are here. There are some people here, which is honestly better for everyone because A, we can be as annoying as we want and not piss anybody off, and B, we don't have to worry about running into a lot of people to get through the entire show. So we're walking in right now, and we'll get to you shortly. Okay, so here at the New York International Auto Show, I gotta say, first off, it's huge. Also, it's very clean. This is the first time I've been here. I've been to the Chicago one, the Cleveland one, the Pittsburgh one, which is more of a dealer network, and of course, the Detroit International Auto Show, aka NIAS. But here at the New York International Auto Show, I feel like things are better organized and it's not as chaotic. But the first thing I see when I walk in is not only a plethora of Fords, which, you know, they're not bad. You got a Ford Edge ST. It's a pretty sweet looking car. But we move over behind the Ford giant steel containers, and we have a beautiful golf-themed livery on this GT, and it is gorgeous. Furthermore, Ford has also decided to show off their new Ford Mustang performance on the EcoBoost, which I'll admit I really like. I'm really into it because I can't afford, and most people can't afford, this GT350 stuff or the GT350R or even the GT500, but you want the performance. You don't want to have to pay for all the other spec'd options that you get on those other cars. And maybe you don't like the body. You just like the base body. So here it is in a beautiful orange. I think it's called like deep orange. Let me take a look at this. So I'm walking up to the pedestal right now. It is, it's the 2.3 liter, which is from the Ford Focus RS. It's the high performance package. It gives you some more horsepower, gives you top speed, but it's simple. It's not overdone. You get a little bit of a chin spoiler, but you still get the Mustang you know and love with the EcoBoost engine, a higher value one. And it's pretty sharp, so I'm okay with it. And I think that's what more of these pony cars should be doing, is you should have your top spec ones, like the Demon for the Charger, or I'm sorry, for the Challenger, your Hellcats and all that, and then have a lot of that high performance for a very stripped package. I know they're trying to do that with the Challenger with the 1320, but you're still paying a pretty penny. I don't know. I think they can go down a little bit further. But that's okay. I like the way it is right now, and we'll see if this trend carries on. I'm going to take a look at some more of these vehicles while we're walking around. Ford did show off the new Ford Escape. It's not bad looking. It's very Focus. It's the Focus we're not getting, right? So right now I'm staring at a plug-in Focus, and a plug-in Escape. It's definitely sleeker. It's more friendly and sportier at the same time, but it looks better than the outgoing model. So that's kudos to Ford, and they get a plug-in one, you get your EcoBoost, so it's not boring anymore, which is great. They don't seem to have an Escape with any kind of performance, so I doubt we're going to get an Edge. God, I can't remember the name of these things. The Escape ST. I don't think we're going to get one anytime soon. And if we do, it's not going to be here for a while, and it's probably not going to be as dramatic as the Edge ST or the Focus ST or Focus RS. One can hope, but we'll see. I like the subtlety of it, and on previous episodes, we've already talked about how on the interior, I think they could have gone a little bit further, and they try to stretch the interior of the Focus a little bit too much. My buddy Zach is trying to show me the Cobra GT500. Wow, this is a phenomenal piece. So let's stop talking about the mundane. Let's get into the drama of this Cobra. I'm going to take plenty of pictures. They'll be up on the Instagram site that, of course, is sketchbook_audio. Check them out. We're going to have lots of pictures of it. But man, in this striking red, what is the color of this red? What is this? Does it say a name? It doesn't say a name on the color. But we've got a beautiful, beautiful blood red. Two white racing stripes coming down the center. carbon fiber wheels, a nice aero kit on the bottom, which looks like a faux kind of carbon fiber. Recaro racing seats with white wings, a white stripe coming down the center of the center console. Beautiful high gloss carbon fiber. This looks to be number two production. So I feel like I'm in the presence of a car god right now. This is gorgeous. You know, I don't like getting into engineering all that much about vehicles, but it just so happens that my buddy and co-host for the day, Zach Soroka, is in fact an engineer. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take some pictures, and then I'm going to bring him back on the show, and he can tell you a little bit about himself, and we can talk about what kind of cars we want to see while we're here at the show, and what we expect to see and what we hope to take away from it. So stay tuned. We're going to come back.
You want me to just say this again?
All right, hey guys, we're back here at Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for staying with us. I got my buddy Zach, long-term friend. We've known each other for a while now, and I believe I'm the one to blame for getting him into cars in the first place. Zach actually started out with a Ford Fusion.
Fusion.
What year was it?
2007 Ford Fusion.
Seven. And he would ask me occasionally, what can I do to this thing? And I didn't see him for like a good few months. And I come back and he's got a, what was it, a Borla exhaust?
It's a Magnaflow exhaust, Koenig wheels, Mustang GT wing. Definitely as slightly as tricked out as a high school kid's Ford Fusion could possibly be.
I'm not going to lie. I got it in the car a few times and it was a little peppy.
Yeah.
I was surprised, and it was so fun. It's not as cool as his present car, which is a 3 Series BMW, but what is it exactly?
2004 E46 330 Xi, all-wheel drive, the 3.0 liter inline six.
Probably the best engine?
Definitely the best engine without having to get an M3, for sure.
Yeah, and it's one of those sad things that we don't get anymore, straight sixes.
Before BMW started making much larger vehicles, it definitely feels like a go-kart on the road. It's amazing.
Now, funny story, Zach, when you bought this car, where did you get it from?
I got it from Detroit, thanks to you. You actually went and looked at the car for me, and it ended up being one of your friends that was selling the car. And everything worked out perfect. The car was perfect. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. Cooling system was already upgraded. Already all had its recent tune. Everything was perfect.
So the big question that I have about cars like that, because you can actually get it in a stick shift, is it stick shift?
Oh, of course. Of course
it's stick shift. Of course. You can't have it any other way.
Cannot. I even got pulled over on the way back from Detroit, and the cop pretty much let me go because he was like, oh, stick shift, huh? And I was like, yes, sir. And he was like, all right, you're good to go.
Look at that. See, there is a reason to still have stick shift. People respect, the old school people respect the fact that you have the ability and you're not lazy to drive a stick shift. That's how I see it. If you're driving an automatic, I feel like you've just accepted your fate and you have a car and that's fine. That you just want to get to A to B, not have to worry about anything. But for guys like us who actually enjoy cars and we want to enjoy the ridiculous amount of times we spend in cars, it made sense to have a stick shift and feel like we were engaged in the vehicle.
I wouldn't have it any other way. My parents were like, you know, you're still in college, just go get a Honda, get something cheap that's an automatic, doesn't have to get worked on. And I'm like, no, this I will have the most fun in, no doubt. This
not
will be worth it.
Today is what he said. With his fist raised to the gods, not today. So I'm proud of him, needless to say. And here we are at the New York International Auto Show, a first for both of us. And it feels pretty awesome. About as awesome as the news has made it. The Detroit Auto Show, as you know, is no longer a winter thing. So we will miss it this coming. It'll be in June of 2020. So a little bit of a distance away, but it's okay. You know, it still exists. We can only hope, though, that it has nice weather. Supposedly there's going to be like a track outside of the Cobo Hall where we can test drive the car. And speaking of tracks, we're going to get outside soon, but Jeep has a off-road park that they made for the Gladiator and the Wrangler Rubicon. So We're looking forward to see that. There will be pictures of that up on the Sketchbook Audio Instagram page. Take a look at it. And right now we're going to go check out the new Sonata, because quite frankly, the taillights on the back end of this thing are gorgeous.
From here, it looks beautiful.
Your mom had a Sonata, right?
She has a Sonata.
She has a Sonata, and it's not ugly.
It's not ugly.
It's not the first gen.
It's not the first gen, but it's not the most pretty car.
But this one in front of us is a step up.
They have stepped up their game in the last few years, Hyundai has.
The taillights.
I can say that confidently from sitting inside this Veloster.
Yes. Okay, so we are in a 1.6 liter turbo Veloster. So this is like the sportier version. It's not quite the N, and it's not fully loaded, but we do have leather. We do have contrast stitching. We have this nice red stripe running down the center of the seats as well as through the steering wheel, and it also kind of carries over on a horizontal level on the IP as well as on the shifter. Now, speaking of the shifter, it's an automatic, the one we're sitting in, but it's these little things that really make a difference in a car. You all know that I hate black interiors, just the all-black interiors, but Hyundai did something really different here. They took the driver's side and made it all black, you know, to give it that sporty feel. So you have this nice dark argent gray finishing touches on the paddle shifters, on the steering wheel third spoke, on the door handles, yada yada. On the right side of the car, it's white. It's like a creamish ivory stone white, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, with a white contrast stitching, the red traveling through the center of the seats. And the door is two-tone. It's white. It's the white and black. So it is hard plastic everywhere. So I'm going to knock them a little bit on that. But overall, the design aesthetic of this car was spot on. They were actually thinking with their heart, I feel, and with their emotions on the interior of this car. And it doesn't feel like this big, giant sea of empty black void. Now, surprisingly, the N is an all black interior with the exception of the blue seat belts and the blue paddle shifters, and I think that was a mistake, but that's just me. I don't like all black interiors. Tell me what you guys think when I start posting some pictures of it. Do you guys like the all black interiors? If so, why? We would love to know. We're gonna head over and take a look. He's already busy taking a look at the interior of the Sonata, which is all new, just as the whole entire exterior is. But he also seems to have his eyes on that beautiful Nissan GTR concept. So we're going to go take a look at that. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Hang in there, guys. This is going to be a good show.
Everyone, this is Ryan Sketch. It's a rainy day, but we are here at Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. So I had a little accident while I was at the New York International Auto Show the other day. I accidentally pushed delete on the bulk of the episode. I do have quite a bit. Obviously, you've already listened to the first 10 minutes or so, but all the other good stuff that I had about the auto show is gone, but that's okay because I still have a bunch of pictures that I'm going to post up today on the Instagram account. And but I also have some other things that popped up while I was at the auto show. And then, of course, I need to talk about the sketch battle because there's some fun things that happened whilst there. So anyways, that was Gautier or Gautier, however you want to say it, with somebody that I used to know. I like that song. It's mellow. It's chill. And the music video is creepy. There's nothing else, no else other way to put that. It's just creepy. But okay, so we've already talked about some of Ford's new product. We're obviously in love with the new Cobra GT500. That is just a beautiful piece of craftsmanship. We also seem to really like the Sonata. Zach pointed out how unique the car is and how much of a divergent it is from the previous generation and the one that it's replacing. So I'm really excited for what Hyundai has as far as sedans go and smaller cars go, because obviously, as you know, the market, especially in the United States, the market is pushing more towards SUVs, crossovers, and trucks. So we are losing out on a lot of sedans. The 300 is all but dead. The 200's gone. The Dart's gone. Chevy's killing off the Cruze since they just idled. Well, not even idled. They shuttered the doors at the Lordstown plant in Ohio. And there's a couple other car companies that are reconsidering their sedans and their small cars. Also, unfortunately, some places are reconsidering their sports cars if they have any in their stable. I really hope that the Charger and the Challenger don't go anywhere. I also hope, and you know, I know I'm a big FCA guy, but the Camaro and the Mustang, I think they belong here. It doesn't matter how, you know, they vary from what the market is really looking for. They're a niche vehicle in a sense, and it's what makes the auto industry so much fun, is that they have that that balance between something that's not meant for everyone and then something that is meant for everyone. And it's a nice harmony. If their entire line, I saw a commercial the other day and it was showing, it was actually from Mitsubishi. They showed like six black SUVs, not a single car in sight. They didn't even have the little one, the Mitsubishi, I think it's the Colt now, or the Mirage. It's the Mirage. They didn't even show that one. It started with the Outlander Sport, then it went to the Mitsubishi. What the hell's the one? The Eclipse Cross. I was gonna say Cross Trick, but that's Subaru. The Eclipse Cross, and then the Outlander, the Outlander Partial Hybrid, and then I think they showed like the Shogun or something, because it wasn't for an American advertisement. It was for someone else, and I was like, that is just boring. And first of all, you know, I don't like black and all black, so seeing six black SUVs in a row was just, and the background of the ad was black. The only thing separating everything was a little bit of light highlights, and because there was like probably showroom lights in that advertisement photo shoot, and the chrome grill. And because chrome reflects whatever's around it, it was pretty much reflecting black, so it was even hard to see the chrome. So that's just like the future I don't look forward to. But it's very apparent that that's probably going to be what we're headed towards. You know what? I would really like to know what you guys are you particularly interested in this future of SUVs and crossovers, or in trucks? Is that what the majority of my listeners are hoping for? Is just all SUVs, trucks, crossovers, and micro crossovers and stuff like that? Because I say micro crossover because Ford is possibly going to give us the Fiesta again or something like it, but lift it, much like the Fiesta Active that is sold in Europe and in other countries. And I think that's just stupid, mostly because you're not getting the fuel economy that the small cars can get, and you're also increasing the cost, which then alienates a lot of people who can't afford, you know, these big crossovers and whatnot. The Buick Encore is the perfect size for entry level to the crossover and SUV market, but it's not attainable by everyone. Even with all their discounts, they're still a little pricey. And Buick has nothing else that's, you know, small enough to really bring in the people that, you know, can't afford to get into Buick, honestly. Mercedes is trying. Mercedes now has the A-Class and then the CLA, and you know, you work your way up to this the C-Class and then the E and the S. But so you can see a transition from, we'll call it entry level, all the way up to real luxury. So kudos to them, because you know there are people who have money, but they don't have all the money to afford the S-Class, but they have enough money to afford an A-Class. And I really respect the fact that Mercedes is still sticking with cars. And so is Audi, which is interesting. But maybe it's just because they can afford to. I don't know. I know we talked about previously that there's, you know, the niche vehicles can be afforded by all of these larger SUVs, i.e. the Fiat 124 Spider, for Fiat anyways. You know, Fiat just had a bunch of crossovers. That's fine. but they don't need to get rid of the 124 as long as those crossovers are selling. Dodge doesn't need to get rid of the Charger and Challenger so long as the Ram, because they're, you know, connected with Jeep, the Jeep Grand Cherokee and whatever's coming from Jeep in the future. And they don't need to get rid of their performance niche cars because there's a higher dollar value on the Rams, on the Grand Cherokee, so on and so forth. So all of that cash flow is just, you're like, oh, okay, well, we can keep making the Charger and Challenger. I do find it very difficult for Chrysler, though, to make the, I'd say, much needed upgrades to the Charger and Challenger to make them visually, obviously, different from where they have been, but also to make them fresh, right? You can only carry a face for so long before it gets tiring. And then, of course, everybody has one. So there's lights at the end of this tunnel, and there's also the potential that these lights are flickering and it's getting kind of dim and dismal. But anywho, the rest of the auto show, like I said, I lost a lot of the audio, but the rest of the auto show, let me tell you, we walked from Kia over to, or well, Kia Hyundai. We walked over to Nissan, got to check out the 50th anniversary Nissan 370Z and the GTR, plus the whole heritage that was behind the GTR. So we got to see like the R32, Paul Walker's Skyline, the Silvias, the Fairlady Zs, all those cars that have really lent to Nissan's historic culture in racing, and just inspired vehicles. So Nissan, while they are doing pretty much nothing but SUVs, there's hope that another GTR will come, you know, down the pipeline. Hopefully it's as sexy as the Ital design GTR, because that was just a gorgeous piece of craftsmanship. I want to post a bunch of pictures of that car if I can find them. The car is just, first of all, it's hand-built, and second of all, it's just a great example of how to take something that is, you know, generally Japanese and add a different culture to it, in this case, Italian, and give it that cross between maybe a Lamborghini and the GTR. It just came out perfect. It's such a sexy car. So I want to post a bunch of pictures of that. Maybe get some feedback from you guys. Do you like it? Do you hate it? It's got a weird nose, I will admit. It's got this gold band wrapped around the nose, but the way the sheet metal on the side kind of frames it, it works, in my opinion, and it's a nice separation of not only materials, but in color and purpose. So get some pictures of that. So after Nissan, we went over to FCA, and FCA had really just special editions of the Charger, Challenger, and Durango. Durango, they did show the one of the very few Durango SRT8 Mopar editions, which had, it was like the, I forget the name of the color. It's like Delmonico red. It's like a blood red with, actually very similar to the red that was on that GT500. But anywho, it was that red with the black hood, black roof. And I think, I don't remember if it had racing stripes or not, but it was really sexy. One thing I did notice that, I don't know if too many people have noticed this yet or if Dodge even announced this, but the IP, the gauge cluster and all that stuff, the dash, you, as some people would like to refer to it as, the dash and the Charger and the Challenger are now wrapped in leather. Or at least they have the appearance that they are, because they have a nice contrast stitching on them. I can't remember the models I was looking at that had that, but maybe the pictures that I post will show that. They did have that really cool Stars and Stripes edition on the Charger, and I think a Challenger, but I didn't see the Challenger, but the Charger was nice. And it's funny because I used to have a 200 alloy edition, which gave you gold wheels, gold badges for the winged Chrysler badges, as well as on the interior, there was, they called it caramel, but it really was gold stitching on the seats, as well as on the steering wheel. And there were some other gold accents here and there, along with a lot of gloss black accents. They took that, which is my favorite part about the 300 and the 200. They took that and they put it over on the Charger and the Challenger, but they made it they gave it a real purpose, which is to a salute essentially to the armed forces in the United States. And first and foremost, thank you to all those who have served our country. I don't know if any of you guys listen to this podcast, but if you do, thank you. Thank you for supporting me. And hopefully I can one day support you guys by going out and getting a charger with that package, because it's pretty cool. I really, really like it. And fun fact, the majority of people who buy chargers and challengers are actually in reserves, or they're active duty, or they are veterans. And I think that's pretty awesome. So, you know, those are American vehicles, even though they're made in Canada, and they're going to real American people and the people who fight for this country. So that was pretty cool. Then after Chrysler, we tried to sneak into Volkswagen, but Volkswagen was like, nay, this is hands off, so you can't go over here, which sucked because they had that new electric dune buggy, and I really wanted to get up close to that. We did get some pictures of it from a distance. I don't know how good they are, but you know, we'll see. They didn't really have anything else that was too exciting. I didn't get to see if they had any of the ID vehicles, so the ID Cross, the ID Buzz, the ID Rooms. Some of these vehicles were shown in Shanghai recently, so maybe that's where they were. I don't know. But like I said, I did not get to see those. After Volkswagen, we went over to Acura, which they had a really cool idea for one of their cars that's not really all that well known, and that's the ILX, which essentially is a Civic, just sexier, and the MDX. So the MDX is their full-size SUV, and or well, at least their full-size large SUV. What they did is they wanted to bring some exclusivity to the vehicle as well as some sportiness to it. So the car gets built in, I believe, Japan, and then it gets shipped over here to Murrysville, Ohio, at the Acura plant where they make the Acura NSX. And then the rest of the vehicle gets built, you know, so like the wheels, the suspension, the front bumper, the rear bumper, because they're more aggressive and they look very similar to the treatment that is done on the NSX. And it all gets put together in Murrysville. And then they get to track it and test it and everything. And you get this beautiful red vehicle with a nice plaque on the interior that says, oh, it was hand-built by this person, and it's number da-da-da of whatever. And now you feel a little bit more special because your ILX wasn't just a run-of-the-mill. It was hand-built. So to me, that's pretty cool because having worked in a manufacturing assembly plant, you can see how all the vehicles start to look the same at some point. But knowing that your vehicle took an extra step to get finalized, I think that's pretty cool. So after Acura, we went over to a few of the luxury car automakers, including Cadillac. Now, I'm going to just say they're getting better at luxury, and they had a couple examples of what their new luxury is, and that's the XT5, which is their larger SUV, the XT. Ooh, what number are they using now? Because the XT5 is what used to be the SRX. And the XT4 is their new one that's a little bit smaller than that. Man, I forget what the name of that vehicle is. I mean, it's like the XT6 or XT7, one of the two. It's a three-row vehicle. It's big, it's gorgeous, and it takes a lot of cues from Cadillac's most recent concept. Let me take a look and Google this. I'll post this up on Instagram as well so you guys can see what I'm talking about. But basically, the headlights and the whole lower fascia took a lot of cues from this. The El Mirage. I think it was the El Mirage. It's this one. Oh, of course, there's no name underneath it. It just says, it's just a picture. Damn it. Well, anywho, oh, here we go. So the XT6 is that new larger SUV. And then this one is just called the Cadillac EV. Oh, the Escala, or Escala. The Escala and the El Mirage are probably the best examples of American luxury. And it kills me that they're never going to come to production. However, like I said, the new, like the XT6 and the new CT5, borrowed a lot of inspiration from those kinds of vehicles. And that's great because now I actually am looking at the Cadillac thinking, wow, I kind of dig this. I kind of want one now. I really wish they had shown this EV because it's got a great front end. It's very intricate, very detail oriented, and well designed. So Cadillac showed off the CT5, and I know in one of my episodes recently I mentioned that I don't like the little kick in the rear quarter panel that flows from the C pillar. There's something about it that just it's like Nice or Infiniti, and I don't know, I'm not digging it. But when I saw it in the CT5 in the sports model, I didn't mind it because it was black. And it was like a really pretty gloss black, and it matched all the accents that are around the rest of the car, including the little side blade on the rocker panel. And then all the gloss black that's wrapping the taillights that goes through the rear diffuser as well as in the grill. It's a really nice car. The interior was pretty solid, and I'm excited to see those on the road. And I've always liked the new CT6, so Cadillac's coming a long way, and I think they're going to make some pretty sweet products, especially since those are cars and they're not crossovers. So hopefully they stick with cars and people still want to buy big, large American luxury vehicles. After Cadillac, we went across the hall to Maserati. Maserati had a really cool thing. While I've already seen the Levante and the Quadrifoglios for the Giulia and the Stelvio, they are offering this new program that they did with the Viper, which I thought was interesting. It's a one-of-one program where you can choose essentially virtually any color you want, and that includes matte finishes. You just get like a scale and a color picker that you can just add whatever the hell color you want. It could be piss yellow, or it could be neon green, or it could be ocean blue, anything in between. So it's really cool. So you can just have whatever color you want. It can be a metallic flake. It can be a gloss vehicle without the metallic flake, just endless. And then the interior gets like a dozen different interior color choices, and the leather varies from super exotic to, you know, your normal stuff. And then there's different materials like Alcantara suede, carbon fiber, so on and so forth. It's a really cool idea, and I think it will add to the uniqueness as well as the hopefully the resale value of a Maserati, because if any of you guys know, Maseratis, particularly the Ghibli and the Quattroporte, they have not had the best of resale value. So much to the point that you can go buy a three-year-old Quattroporte for about half the price of it brand new with 30,000 miles on it. Not a bad deal, considering you've just gone from an $80,000 car down to a $40,000 or $30,000 car. I would do it. Mechanically, there's nothing wrong with them. They're great cars. They're built pretty well, and they got that sexy Italian flair. So why not? I kind of wish they had a GT again or something longer with a hatch. I don't know. But yeah, I personally will go with the Stelvio if I had my choice. I like the Stelvio. I had one for about a week when I was at Chrysler, and it's a phenomenal driver, not only for a daily, but also for being a little bit more aggressive on the highway or just on a track. Yeah. So after Maserati, we went over to, they had this little corral, and I'll post pictures on the Instagram, but they had this corral that essentially all of the vehicles inside this corral, there was 10 of them. The grand total of value was probably close to $20 million. 10 vehicles, $20 million total. There was a Glickenhaus. There was two or three Koenigsegg, a Ruggera, an Ughera, and the Jesko, the new Jesko, which that wing is as big as it sounds and as big as it looks. And the carbon fiber trim they have all over the place is just mind-blowing. So, yeah, they had I never pronounce it right. It's either Rimac or Rimac. It's their electric hypercar. That thing was pretty badass. It's like 1,000 horsepower. And then the last but not least, there was an Urus on the other side, which was pretty badass. It was a bright red with a gloss black lower trim and in the grill with yellow brakes. And then there was a Bugatti Chiron in blue carbon fiber. It was their 110th anniversary edition. Wow. Whoever that goes to, yeah, that's life right there. A life that I'll never know. And, you know, so, but if any of my listeners know about that life, let me know about that life. Let me be your friend. I would love to even just sit in your car or even look at it. Just invite me over one day and be like, here, you can look at my car for an hour. I'll be like, okay, I'm down. I'll even do a podcast on it. After that experience and a change of pants, we went over to Kia, and Kia had – oh, by the way, I think I mentioned this earlier that Kia and Hyundai were right next to each other. They weren't. My bad, I spoke too soon. Kia was actually separated, and thankfully, because Hyundai just kind of laid all their cars out, and it was no big deal. It was an open light and tall ceiling, so you didn't get the emotion of like a new reveal or anything. But the drama that was in the Kia room was pretty awesome because they showed off this new vehicle called the Habanero concept. And there was a couple things that I really liked about the Habanero. One, the interior was all anodized red. So Habanero is a hot pepper. It's red. The interior of it was red. It was gorgeous. It was a lot of red though. I have a funny feeling that if you were to get in that car, you would probably wind up wanting to kill somebody after you got out of it, or just feel enraged at everybody for absolutely no reason. You go to McDonald's and you're asking for, you know, hi, welcome to McDonald's. What can I get you? Give me a freaking cheeseburger, damn it. And you would just freak out for no reason. But that's what psychologically an all red room would do to you. But that red trim carried to the outside of it. And they did something very similar to what Peugeot has done in the past, where they'll take a car, do like a matte finish, like a dark gray or a dark blue, and then they'll do a contrast color like this red just on the back quarter panel and kind of cups up to the roof. So I don't really know how to explain that all that well with one word, but I will tell you it was awesome. And I wish more car companies would do that, because just having one color on your car is kind of boring, especially after a while. But having that unique band, I guess we'll call it, of color against – oh, and here's one thing. Zach and I pointed out that while we were driving through New York, New York people are boring when it comes to vehicle color choice. They have great taste in cars. They have horrible taste in color. Every car was either black, gray, or white, or yellow if you had a taxi. And I just – I wanted to cry and I wanted to shake somebody and tell them, why don't you like color? You have color all over your buildings, but your cars are just boring. And then I saw a gloss black, or I'm sorry, a matte black, brand new Audi A8. And I took that back because it was pretty sexy. There was a matte red, it was like an orangish red BMW M8 that we saw somewhere, which I will also post a picture of that. And that was cool. So let me paint that picture real quick. The entire street was gray or white, a couple black cars. This one red BMW stuck out like a sore thumb, and it was awesome. You could see it from like five blocks away. We were driving, and all of a sudden we were like, red car, what is that? And we floored it to that car and took pictures of it. It was awesome. So after Kia, we went and saw a couple other places. They did not have the Jeep Trail thing ready, but we did get to see a lot of the Gladiators, a lot of hopped up Rubicons and some Mopar-ized vehicles. That was cool. But the best thing that I got to see there was the Rivian booth. And that includes the R1T and the R1S. The R1S being the SUV that's green, and the R1T being the silverish gray truck. Now, I wanted to briefly talk about the truck because, first of all, the truck and the SUV interiors are almost identical, which is not a bad thing at all, because the exterior, they look similar, but they don't look the same. The truck, the cargo space and the thoughtfulness that went into this vehicle, it was mind-blowing. And there's a really good video that Jalopnik just did recently showing off some of those features that I think you should go look at. It's called, the article was, "The Rivian Electric Pickup Truck is Full of Fun Surprises." Many, many fun surprises. Least of them being the power frunk. You just push a button on your remote or your phone, and the the hood of your truck goes up and you have a trunk in the front of your truck. Yeah. Another cool feature was in the door panels, there are these neoprene zipper pocket things where you would store maps or food or rock climbing gear. I don't know, but you can remove them to either clean them or add something else into those pockets. It's really cool what they do. I wish I had taken more pictures of all the different things that could go in there, but Rivian promises that there will be a slew of aftermarket products that you can, well, from Rivian, that you can pop into those and zip in, and maybe like a Bluetooth speaker that's removable. I don't know. That would be really cool. Jeep offers that on the Gladiator, by the way, and that was a really cool feature. But with the Rivian truck, just tons and tons of cool stuff. If you've seen that tunnel that goes in between the truck bed and the cab of the vehicle, and you were wondering, are those steps? Can I use those steps to do something like get into the truck bed? The answer is yes. And they support up to, I think, 300 pounds. That was really, really awesome. And actually in the video, one of the videos from Rivian, they talk about you could sit there and pet your alligator that you decided to shove in that storage area. I don't know why you would put an alligator in there. The one guy said, well, I could put my dog in there too, but the dog needs to breathe. Alligators need to breathe too. I'm just saying. And there's no breathing apparatus inside there. So don't put your alligator in there. And don't pet an alligator for that matter. Unless you're a professional trainer or something, then, you know, do what you want. We're at 28 minutes here. There's so much more to talk about. I'm definitely going to have to do another episode very, very soon, hopefully Monday or Tuesday. But really quickly before we close out of here, the sketch battle at Jalopnik headquarters. First of all, if Jalopnik is listening, because I know a couple of you guys took my business card, thank you for showing up and thank you for allowing us to use your beautiful facility to do the sketch competition. This was my 9th or 10th one, and every one of them gets better, but this one was by far the best. And you guys have a really cool work environment, so I'm kind of jealous. I wish I could work for you guys. But with the sketch battle, there was only 8 competitors. One of them actually dropped out. He could not make it, so there were 7. So I made it through the first round. The second round, I was pretty close to getting it, but not quite there. Needless to say, my competitors were phenomenal. They were great. I really appreciated them being there and meeting new people, meeting new friends. Had a lot of fun. Thank you to everybody who supported the Bard Prison Foundation so that, you know, those prisoners could get the kind of treatment and care that they need and not feel abused in prisons or neglected. And actually, it helps them get an education, too. Fun fact, that prison has a debate team, and they kicked the shit out of Harvard's debate team. So, booyah. Anyways, I got 9 seconds. I'm going to stop this recording here, and then I'm just going to finish it up with a little segment. So, stay tuned. All right, we're back. We're going to finish this episode up here. We just got done talking about the sketch battle that happened in New York City at the Jalopnik headquarters. Thanks again to Jalopnik for that. Also, thank you to Brooke and Frank for setting that one up, because that was definitely one to remember. And man, just still trying to wrap my head around all of that, especially the part where we had to go to the address and we spoke to about 8 different security guards who told us they have no idea where Jalopnik is, what Jalopnik is. In fact, one of them thought that I said gelato. I said Jalopnik sketch battle competition, and he thought I said gelato eating competition. He was a larger gentleman, so maybe I get where he's coming from, and he just really got excited about gelato. But yeah, that's not where we were going. That had nothing to do with gelato. I don't even think there was gelato anywhere near that facility. There was a lot of pizza and wine and beer, but no gelato. Gelato was not present at Jalopnik. So anyways, not much coming up in the near future as far as cars go. So that's going to give me some time to start talking about some other things. And one of those things we have mentioned before in previous episodes, and that's shoes and shoe design and how cool that is, because now, with the onset of all these 3D printings, these new additives, and these new polymers and all that stuff, the skies are endless. The possibilities are endless. It's it's a beautiful, bold new world for shoes. And let's just say if I ever go back to the Nike store in New York City, I will be a poor, poor man. The only reason I resisted the temptation this time was because I need that money for my honeymoon and for the wedding. So my fiance probably would have killed me and not let me come into the house if I had spent any of it. So the money was just to get me there and back, maybe even feed me a couple times. Other than that, I needed to save that money for, like I said, the wedding. I'm alive still, so obviously I did not spend all that money. But when we come back to the next episode, we will talk about shoes and shoe design and how awesome it is. They had a 3D printed shoe there, and I could not for the life of me figure out which part was 3D printed. I just thought the whole thing was the foam padding underneath, like the heel, the actual foot bottom, looked 3D printed, and I thought maybe they just came up with this really cool new foam 3D printing. And then the shoe itself was a really lightweight mesh, and it's typical for like that Flyweave, I think is what Nike uses or what it's called. But that's pretty much what it was, but apparently it was 3D printed. And it weighed about as much as a couple pieces of paper. Mind-blowing, I know. Definitely wanted to buy those shoes, but they were like $300. Yeah, so you can see how it would have been very easy for me to spend a lot of money there. So we're the next episode, we are going to talk about shoes. Not just Nike, but we'll talk about Pumas because I really like Pumas. We're going to talk about Adidas. We're going to talk about some of these other companies that are making really big waves when it comes to shoes. And there also seems to be a very increased amount of, what's the word I'm looking for? Collaboration between artists and apparel and fashion and shoes, especially athletic wear. My buddy Zach, he actually had on these shoes that were Nikes, but they were kind of designed by or for a company called, or an artist called Acronym. I'm not familiar with, but it's a big deal apparently. And they were expensive shoes and they were really badass. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about on the next episode. So I look forward to talking about that. If you guys have any questions or you want to know more about shoes or maybe some of these shoe companies, let me know, because my sister actually worked for Adidas and now she is working for Nike. So if you guys have any questions that I can ask her, let me know, because her whole job title, I think, is the like the lead marketing person for the women's branding of shoes and athletic wear. So she does everything. One of her projects when she worked at Adidas, I think, had something to do with Yeezy. So yeah, she's kind of a know-it-all of shoes right now and marketing and the collaborations that go on between athlete and the apparel company, as well as with artists. So looking forward to that. And then probably after that, we can talk about some other things like furniture, get back to maybe some Frank Lloyd Wright stuff, because I had an experience with that recently. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to open up a lot of doors. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to get very diverse here at Sketchbook Audio. And last thing, there is another sketch battle and it's happening in Chicago. So if any of my listeners are interested, look up Middlecott Sketch Battle or I can't think of the other. Just go on Instagram, go on Facebook and look up Middlecott Sketch Battle. That's MiddleCott, Middlecott, and then Sketch Battle. You can't miss it. They're the only one. So look them up, shoot them a message if you want to go to that sketch battle. That sketch battle is actually not so much about cars at all. It's about product design. So if you're interested in product design and you want to test your skills and see if you have what it takes to compete under the intense pressure of a sketch battle, by all means, shoot them a message, see if you can get in, or just go. It's in Chicago. I'll post up the flyer on the sketch battle page or on the sketchbook page, so you guys can have an idea of what you're looking at. And then I'll keep posting up more information about future sketch battles. Maybe I'll see some of you guys there. One really quick thing I noticed, I thought this was awesome. A lot of my, there's an uptick in the different kind of people that are listening to, or at least the different countries that are listening to this podcast. And first is the United States. There's a bunch of people from the United States listening to this. The second highest ranking group is the French. So for the French, I just wanted to say, bonjour, mon nom est Ryan. I don't know if I sound French at all, but I just said, hello, my name is Ryan. So I hope, you know, I don't think I needed to explain that to anybody that was French. Forgive me. Yeah. Je ne sais quoi. Right? Oui. Okay. So thank you for tuning in, guys. I appreciate it. We'll be back here in a few short days with some stuff to talk about. Go ahead and post up some questions on the Instagram page. Shoot me some messages on Anchor. Oh, and by the way, definitely, if you're interested in doing your own podcast, go with Anchor. And I'm not saying that because they pay me to do it, because I actually haven't even signed up for their latest sponsor segment. So I'm saying that just because I think Anchor is a pretty awesome, pretty easy thing to do and learn and start your own podcast. So if you want to be like me and just sit in your office and talk about something all day and have people listen to you, then yeah, go with Anchor. Anchor.fm if you want to do it from your computer, or download the Anchor app. That's ANCHOR.FM, or just download the app. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Make sure you guys are using your sketchbooks all day, every day. And as always, be good to one another. And if you're in Michigan, I'm sorry. The weather is shit, and there's nothing I can do about it. But enjoy inside and maybe do some sketching. Yeah. All right. Peace out.